Brethren and Sisters in the Southern Union Conference, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 12, 1904. To my brethren and sisters in the Southern Union Conference, God would have the standard lifted higher and still higher. The church cannot abridge her task without denying her master. Meeting houses must be built in many places. Is it economy to fail to provide in our cities places of worship where the Redeemer may meet with his people? Let us not give the impression that we find it too great an expense to provide properly for the reception of the heavenly guest. In laying plans for building, we need the wisdom of God. We should not needlessly incur debt, but I would say that in every case, all the money required to complete a building need not be in hand before the work is begun. We must often move forward by faith, working as expeditiously as possible. It is through a lack of faith that we fail of receiving the fulfillment of God's promises. We must work and pray and believe. We are to move forward steadily and earnestly, trusting in the Lord and saying, "I will not fail nor become discouraged." Let our brethren in Nashville and in all parts of the South lay aside their doubts and come over to the side of faith. Let them say, "We will do our best." No longer will we question the work and the ways of the Lord. From this time, we will believe the word of the Lord and obey his command to arise and build. Nehemiah 2, verse 20. Whether all the money required is in sight or not. The Lord has instructed me that in some places there are buildings suitable for our work, and that we can secure these buildings at reasonable cost. Our churches need an increase of true piety. When liberal offerings and a just tithe are paid by all, many more facilities can be provided for the carrying forward of the Lord's work. Let there be systematic giving on the part of all. Some may be unable to give a large sum, but they can lay aside each week a small sum for the Lord. Let the children act their part. Let parents teach their children to save their pennies to give to the Lord. The gospel ministry is to be supported by self-denial and self-sacrifice. Through the self-denying labors of God's people, others will be brought into the faith, and these in turn will help to increase the offerings made for the carrying forward of the Lord's work. When we pray and believe, trusting God's promises, He will work in our behalf. He will cooperate with us. When we come to Him with the simplicity of little children, He will hear our prayers. He will give success in every lawful undertaking. But He may not always answer our prayers just as we desire Him to. His way is not always our way. He who reads the future may see that what we desire would not be for our best good or for the glory of his name. The duty of parents. God is greatly dishonored by the neglect of parents to train their children for him. Many parents are approaching the judgment with their work undone. If the mothers in our churches would work perseveringly for the salvation of their children, denying the inclination to read novels and to spend much time in the making of fashionable garments, much more would be done for Christ. Parents, work earnestly for the conversion of your children, that they may become missionaries for Christ. In private and at the family altar, pray for them. Allow them to help you in missionary work. Let your life show them that you love God and that you love them. Let them see that you have an interest in their welfare. Act your part faithfully. Give them encouragement. You yourselves like to know that your efforts are appreciated. Then let your children know that you appreciate their efforts to help. Every home should be a place of love, a place where the angels of God abide, working with softening, subduing influence upon the hearts of parents and children. A warning against deceptions. We are living in perilous times. We need to search the scriptures diligently and prayerfully that we may avoid weaving into our faith dangerous errors. I warn our church members, let no one beguile you into the belief that God is an essence pervading nature. Such an idea is a specious delusion. Let all be on guard against such suppositions. These subtle theories, clothed in beautiful garments, prepare the way for greater errors, which, if accepted, will lead even conscientious believers in the truth away from their steadfastness to false doctrines.
From time to time, we need, unitedly, to examine the reasons of our faith. It is essential that we study carefully the truths of God's Word. For we read that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. We are in grave danger when we lightly regard any truth, for then the mind is opened to error. We must take heed how and what we hear. We need not seek to understand the arguments that men offer in support of their theories, when it may be readily discerned that these theories are not in harmony with the Scriptures. Some who think that they have scientific knowledge are by their interpretations giving wrong ideas both of science and of the Bible. Let the Bible decide every question that is essential to man's salvation. Christ, our only hope. As we see the condition of mankind today, the question arises in the minds of some, is man by nature totally and wholly depraved? Is he hopelessly ruined? Men have sold themselves to the enemy of all righteousness. They cannot redeem themselves. Of themselves, they can do no good thing. But there is a way of escape. When man sinned, Christ offered to stand as his substitute and surety, in order to provide a way whereby the guilty race might return to loyalty. He took humanity and passed over the ground where Adam stumbled and fell. Without swerving from his allegiance, he met the temptations wherewith man is beset. Only by accepting Christ as a personal Savior can human beings be uplifted. Beware of any theory that would lead men to look for salvation from any other source than that pointed out in the Word. Only through Christ can men sunken in sin and degradation be led to a higher life. Theories that do not recognize the atonement that has been made for sin and the work that the Holy Spirit is to do in the hearts of human beings are powerless to save. Man's pride would lead him to seek for salvation in some other way than that pointed out in the Scriptures. He is unwilling to be accounted as nothing, unwilling to recognize Christ as the only one who can save to the uttermost. To this pride, Satan appealed in the temptation that he brought to our first parents. Ye shall be as gods, ye shall not surely die, he said. Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. And by a belief of his words, they placed themselves on his side. Of Christ it is written, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 17 or 18.